I hear pages turning. I want to thank our youth. Our youth, we went down to Providence Ministries on Friday around lunchtime and fed some people that were in need, some working poor and some homeless folks. And our youth represented this church and God extremely, extremely well. You should be very proud of them. They served with great attitudes, smiles on their faces, and they did a great, great job. And it was a privilege to take them and show them around a ministry and see, you know, that's where I got started, kind of cut my teeth as a young preacher. I remember standing at a door. I'm still letting y'all get to Matthew chapter 27, verse 1. But I remember standing at a door talking about some homeless, one part of the homeless shelter. And it just got overwhelming to me that, you know, that could easily be any of us at any time in our lives. You don't ever think that you could end up in a situation like that or worse, but you can. But I would just, it'll make you grateful for what you have. But I just want to, thank you, the youth, for going, and I thank you for all the adults that went. It was good. Man, God's really been working on me today. I don't know if y'all, I hope y'all didn't think I was being rude today, but tonight's message, God was giving me a super quick download on it. It's a message I've never preached. I don't know if I preached this one right here, but if you're a member of this church and you're wanting to do ministry, you need to be here tonight. It's going to be a really good ministry about not being, not looking at the wrong things while you're sitting in church, not looking at the wrong idea of what ministry is. So I'll come up with a more clever title by tonight. Bob, what he read this morning in the midst of that is almost perfect for it, but maybe I'll have to look at it again, that verse of the song that he read. Are y'all ready? Matthew chapter 27. Have I killed enough time? Is everybody there? Praise God. Matthew 27:1. When the morning was come and all the chief priests and elders, the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. This makes me laugh and cry at the same time. You can't take counsel to do anything to Jesus. This counsel was made long ago. One time we're reminded in Psalm 1, verse 2, that the kings and the chiefs would get together and they would make a council against God's anointed. And then we see another council all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, where God said, you will bruise his head, but he will bruise his heel, crushing Satan. He had already made an idea. He had already made a plan. He had already got it together that Jesus would die on an old rugged cross. I want you to understand this completely. They got in a room. They held Jesus overnight, and they slapped him, and they spit upon him, and they threatened him, and they said, "We're going to kill you. We're going to destroy you. We got to find something wrong with him." And Jesus stood there saying, "I've been ready to do this for thousands of years. You're not doing anything. Man, you should reside in your heart and your mind and know that God's in control of everything. I mean, you can sit down and make a great plan, but if God ain't in that plan, He'll destroy that plan. And let me say it the other way. If you get down and sit down and make a plan and God's in that plan, every devil in hell can come against that plan and it's not going to fail. That should encourage the fire out of some of you. Amen? Because God sent you, God's called you, God's put it in your heart, and you're sitting there thinking the devil's going to ruin it. The devil can't ruin what God has ordained. It don't matter what it looks like, because I'm going to be honest with you. Everybody, Peter, James, John, Mary, everybody looking this night where they were meeting, amen, they were thinking in the temple, they were saying, everything's going wrong. Have you ever had a time in your life where you felt like everything was going wrong? Guess what? In God's plan, everything's going right. And every I was dotted and every T was crossed in God's plan, and it looked like it was all messed up. I love this story with all my heart. I love it because all the disciples and all the apostles, they're standing there and watching Jesus, and they come and get him in the garden, and they say, "We're taking him away to judge him." And they think, "Man, we've got to do something," and they can't. All they can do is run. And all the ones, the temple guard who come to get him, probably about 100 men, They ask him a question. Art thou the Christ? He said, I am. You know what they did? They all fell backwards as if they were dead. Never mind. I like this kind of thinking. I'm kind of one of these people that like get into the stories, part of the story, the in-depth part. That Jesus is cool. Amen? I think he was just letting them know that you're going to take me, but you can't take me unless I let you take me. Amen? Some of y'all should praise God every once in a while because he died on a cross, and somebody will say, well, the Jews put him up there or the Romans put him up there. I'll tell you who put him up there. It was God himself. It was he himself who held himself to the cross. Matter of fact, it says it like this, your sins held him to the cross. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you for letting people judge you. Letting people feel like they have control of you and power over you when they had none. Thank you, Lord, when you let me think I had power. And Lord, thank you when you let me think I had control. Thank you, Lord, for not breaking me. Thank you for not killing me in my sin. Golly, I didn't get saved till I was 29 years old. Thank you, Lord, for every day, every hour, every minute, every second of the time that you allowed me to breathe in my ignorance. Golly, Pom, I can think of things I said out of my mouth. I don't really believe God. I don't really believe who He is. Aren't you glad God just sat up there in His patience and His grace and His mercy and said, "Woo, go let you slide today." Amen? Because I've got plenty of people who can do what I want you to do. Man, I thank God every person that was in that room taking counsel. What do you think we should do with him? I love the one guy, if you read in depth, walks up because they blindfold him and he slapped him. And he said, "Who slapped you?" Goodness gracious. What's crazy is he could have told him exactly who slapped him, what his birthday was, who his mom and daddy was, who his great-grandfather was, and he could probably run it all the way back to Adam. Amen? But instead, he says, "I died for you too. Because in your ignorance, you slapping me, you're still going to have a period of time where you can accept me." Amen? I love this. I love when I read it. It blows me away that Jesus let people handle him the way he let them handle him. Verse 2, "And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him unto Pontius Pilate, the governor." They're taking him to a governor, even though he's got the government of the whole world upon his shoulders. He is the judge of the whole world, yet somebody's judging him. Aren't you glad God went through a contradiction? Aren't you glad God let men do some judging? And can you see it? They bound him where you don't have to be bound. They tied him up and led him before judgment where you don't have to be tied up and led before judgment. Amen? Jesus got tied up where you can be set free. Thank God. This night right here means everything to me. There's such a contradiction. I could imagine every angel in heaven looking off into a temporal time, into our time from eternity, and seeing God be handled and be led and be judged. And they're sitting there going, "Man, this is crazy." They're handling God, and He's allowing them to handle them. Him. It just blows me away. Every time I read this scripture, it just blows me away how good God is to us. I've been arrogant in my time. I've been arrogant since I've been saved. "God, where are you? God, what are you doing today? Oh, God, what did you forget who I was?" No, I've not forgot. Remember? A couple thousand years ago, when I went through all that for you, died on that cross for you, suffered for you, judged for you, bound for you, went through all that just for you. Listen, I've got more invested in your salvation and your life than you do. Thank you, Lord. I just forgot. God ain't forgot about you. He ain't forgot 1 minute about you. Amen? He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows what you're doing. And everything He's doing is working out for His honor and His glory, and it's the best for you. I know some of you, I can feel it. I can feel it right now. Some of you go, "You don't know me, preacher. You don't know me. You don't know what I'm going through." I do. I know this. I know what you're going through is to bring you either unto salvation or to glorify God through your life, words, deeds, and actions. And He will get His honor and His glory through your life. I don't believe you. Well, stick around. You'll see it happen. Amen? You're sitting in the right place. Now let's switch his gears. I love this. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to go to the chief priest and the elders. Amen? Judas had made a plan. There's some of y'all making plans in here this morning. You're making plans with your life. You're thinking that you're going to be able to satisfy yourself, and the devil's lying to you. That's kind of what the title of this message is. You heard it wrong. See, the devil, he tells you things, he presents things to you, and it seems like it'll be satisfying to your life. It seems like it would take the place of Jesus, and you will do just as well, or if not better, with it than you would Jesus. I could take you through my whole life. Where the God of this world, the devil put things in my life and showed me things that I thought would satisfy my soul. I mean, just all kinds of things that would come into my life. And I thought, you know what, this will satisfy my soul. This will make me happy. This will make me content. I won't want anymore. Judas did this. Judas looked and said, you know what? These 30 pieces of silver, this will buy me a house. It'll buy me a future. And it seems like Jesus wants to die anyway. So I'll take the opportunity and I'll accept this thing that's going to save me other than Jesus. And I'll take it. You know what he found out real quick? This thing didn't save. This silver didn't save. This sex didn't save. This alcohol didn't save. This lying didn't save. This anything that you want other than Jesus didn't save. This marriage didn't save. This love didn't save. This world didn't save. This job didn't save. This new truck, this new car, this new boat, this new house, it did not, will not save me. Won't. Can't. It just gets tarnished. It's weird because it should have took the place of Jesus, but it just seems like it's fading. Everything I ever done in my sin just seemed like it faded. Amen? It wasn't as important. He came back with it and tried to give it back. It just didn't do. It just won't do. How many of you ever committed a sin or went after something other than God only to want to give it back shortly after? Amen, preacher, that's me. I've took some stuff before and thought it was going to be the thing that made me happy, only to be laying there going, I would love to return this one. God, we get real for a minute. I wished I could give this back because this thing was oversold and underdelivered. Amen. Take it back. Verse 4, saying, I have sinned, that I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. No, you need to really, can we break verse 4 down real good? Saying, I have sinned, and I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? Let's get it down, we'll make a different translation. Who cares? God, this right here, this is the answer to every sin question you have. This kind of reminds me of a drug dealer. I don't know how I know about them. I read about it. They sell you the drugs. You get high on the drugs. Somebody overdoses on the drugs. Somebody gets arrested on the drugs. Somebody is hooked and they can't get their life back, their money back, their job back. And you go to them and you say, it has ruined me. Who cares? Didn't anybody tell you not to mess with me? I think they've been telling you since the third grade. Amen? Right? Hadn't they been telling you not to mess with me? Do you think I care? Did you think I was going to worry about you? Have you ever thought that the people you were running with and the people you were hanging with, did you really think they were going to hang out when tough times hit? Did you really think those were going to be the people who stuck around even though everything about them was evil and wicked and they laughed about evil and wicked stuff, and yet when everything falls apart, you're all alone? I thought you had my back. I thought you was going to go with me no matter what. I thought you was my friend. I thought you was going to be my friend no matter what. I meant as long as you can help me. I meant as long as you don't get me arrested. Amen? As long as I don't have to put any money, time, and effort. Some of y'all need to look into people like that, because guess what? They keep leaving you and rejecting you and not helping you, and you got them listed as friend. Oh, I want to talk to my friends. And you got the person who always comes to rescue you, always helps you, write it down, put a dot beside it, always pays the bill, and somehow they're the enemy. Ouch. They don't know what they ain't got. I love it when somebody tells me, my mom and dad, they ain't got no business in my life. Well, they shouldn't have to pay the bill. Well, they should help me. Listen, I want to help everybody here. Make a note right here. Listen, if somebody ever asks you for money and then tells you to mind your business about anything else in their life, don't loan them the money. Amen. Woo! Somebody's going to have to leave now. Amen? Somebody's going to have to leave. Because they just got the jiggers up. Amen? Because they want you to help them. They want you to, they'll give you a guilt trip. They'll tell you what to do and how to do it. But the minute you say, hey, can I see the receipts? Can I see where you spend it? Can I help you out? Hey, what are we going to buy with the money that I'm going to loan you? Can we go pay off something that matters? You need to mind your own business. Amen? Amen? The minute you get out of trouble, the minute the crisis is over, you run back to the people who got you in the crisis. Amen? That's what they did. He came back to the people, and he thought there was going to be some kind of remorse, there was going to be some kind of peace in it. He came back, and he says, hey, I've sinned against innocent blood. I don't know what... None of our business. None of our business. Sorry, we can't help you. If you're going to live a life of sin, you better get used to that. Because that's all you're going to get. One after another. There's people out there, they're called doctors today, but they're just the same as drug addicts. Amen? They'll get you hooked up on pain medication, and you'll come back down there until you're hooked. And when you walk in the door and say, I just can't make it, they'll say, hey, we can't help you. Oh, I'm sorry. We don't need to talk about real things. We should just talk about street drugs, right? We should just talk about situations like that. Let's not talk about, prescription medication that you get hooked on and they keep telling you to come back and come back and come back because you need this and you need this. You know, that's the same thing a drug dealer tells you. I'm just saying. You can get mad if you want to. I'm just saying. Sometimes you need to walk in there and say, you know what? You're no different than anybody else. You just got a different kind of outfit to wear. Amen? Oh, sorry. Should have made the other service. Amen. He finds out in verse 5, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and he departed, and he went and hanged himself. In verse 4, he figured it out. He figured out this one thing that you need to figure out. Kyle, show me that. John 8:44. You need to figure this out. He didn't hear the devil right. Amen? Here's what the devil is. Amen? I want y'all to know this. This is who the devil is. This verse will be up here for you. It's, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Amen? Listen, when the devil talks, he says one thing, but he means another. Amen? He says one thing, but if you don't hear it right, that's the title. If you don't hear it right, you think it says joy, peace, happiness, life. Right? You think that's what you're hearing. See, Judas heard 30 pieces of silver. He said, this will bring me a future. This will bring me life. This will bring me hope. I was watching this commercial the other day, and it kind of reminded me of this. I kind of wish the devil would speak like this, and sometimes I wish people would speak like this. Check this out. Turn it way up, Kyle.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
I brought you this pie to see if you're weird.
Wow, that smells intrusive.
It is.
Did you want to come in, maybe snoop around a bit?
That's why I'm here.
Wouldn't it be great if everyone said what they meant?
Ooh,
Right? Don't you wish that was how it really was when the devil met you? Hey, man. I'm here to destroy your life. I'm here to destroy your life. I'm here to destroy your family. I'm here to kill your kids. I love it when the woman shows up. She's got a pie in her hand. Oh, hey, how are you doing? Why are you here? Here to see if you're weird. You want to come in and snoop around? Oh, absolutely. Right? That smells like intrusive. Man, I wish, you know, sometimes it's church. I wish church people were like that too. No, man, you can't preach like this, Kevin. I love you. I would like to stab you. I'm sorry. God bless you. I'll curse you. I wish I could. No. I'm serious. And we think that God, somehow God ain't picking up on that. We act like God don't hear. He don't hear our heart, but He just hears whatever we manufacture out of our mouth. That's ludicrous. That's crazy. You might as well say nothing or say what you mean. Ouch. But I wish the devil would tell me what he's really up to. But I'm glad I got Bible to tell me. John 10:10 says he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. So everything that comes out of his mouth or everything that he presents to you is steal, kill, and destroy. It ain't ever going to change. His plan ain't no different if you're one or if you're 100. It's the same plan. So everything that he presents to you, you need to understand that he's presenting you this to kill, steal, and destroy. It ain't ever going to work out. It ain't never going to work out. Can we get weird? Let's get weird. Y'all ready? I love getting weird. Listen to this one. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, "It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood." What in the world is that? That's weird. That's religious weird. You can kill a man. You can pay a man to betray a man to kill a man, but you can't put that money back into your account because it's cursed money. That's religion. That's some religion for you. That's weird religion, amen? We can't take that blood money and put it in the bank. We better buy something else with it. Golly, bum, are you serious? That's why God is so good. He makes everything so simple and so right and so easy. Yeah, you don't have to do weird stuff. You don't have to do like, oh, this here's blood money. We can't put blood money in there with the God money. Are you serious? Are you serious? Listen, I can tell right away if somebody is on the level with God or not because they got all kinds of weird stuff going on. Amen? They do. They talk about the stuff more than they talk about God and people. I love stuff, and I love God's stuff, but let me tell you about the stuff. It's all going to burn up. So we might as well use all the stuff that we have to reach all the people that we can. Well, what if we mess up all of our nice stuff? Ain't God God? I mean, I got a God who's in control of everything. Amen? And if we need new stuff, I just believe either He'll give us the financial part of it to buy new stuff, or, oh my goodness, He'll just give it to us through somebody else. You're a radical man. We just walked through a ministry this Friday. We just walked through a ministry and drove through a ministry that reaches all the way from Dalton, Georgia, all the way to Pikeville, Tennessee. And it's got many buildings and many people, hundreds and hundreds of people being fed and helped and broken chains of addiction and all that. And you know where it started? It started with a man in a little bitty old church, smaller than this one, who said, I'll open the doors up and bring homeless people in and let them sleep there. That's where it started. Well, gosh, what if I ruin my pews with homeless people who sleep on them? You know what might just happen? He'll give you bigger and bigger places to house more people and help more people. That's what I'm looking at. I'm not afraid of what God can't provide. I'm afraid of not ever trying. Somebody said, Kevin, aren't you ever scared of failing? Aren't you ever scared of messing up? Yeah. Every time I step up here on Sunday and Wednesday. But I'd rather fall and mess up and do crazy stuff wrong than never, ever, ever try. Amen. That scares me more than anything. Sitting on the sideline going, man, you know what people on the sideline do? They pick out what you do, the people who do. They pick out the stuff they do wrong. I don't like the way you did this. I don't like the way you did that. Good, keep watching. Praise God. Maybe we'll find something we do that you'll like. Hallelujah. And if not, we'll keep on trying. And we'll keep on trying. Because really, be honest with you, we're not trying to please you anyway. We're not trying to make you happy. I hate to tell you that. I'm not trying to make any of y'all happy. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to make God happy. And I'm going to do everything in my power to make Him happy. I'm going to follow after Him. I'm going to chase after Him. And guess what? I'm going to hope some of y'all will stay with us and try to catch Him too. Amen? Y'all ever read about Moses? Moses had a cloud by day and a fire by night. He said, Moses, you're not doing everything right. I'm just doing what the cloud says to do. Hey man, I'm just following the cloud. And at night I'm following the fire. I'm not trying to be right at everything. I'm just trying to follow that one that is right. Amen. If you follow me, we'll cross the promised land. We'll cross over the Jordan into the promised land. Now, if I stay out here trying to please you and make y'all happy, we might dwell out here in the desert a little bit longer. I don't want to dwell in the desert. I want to go where God wants us to go. Amen, preacher. That's pretty good preaching. He cast down the silver. They didn't want to put it in there because it was the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore the field was called the field of blood unto this day. Judas had a great, I guarantee you that his plan was never to buy a graveyard with the money that he took to betray Jesus. I guarantee you there was I guarantee you that he did, when the devil started really tempting his heart to betray Jesus, I guarantee you he was thinking of a little cottage, maybe some acreage for a cow or some sheep or some camels, maybe a wife, maybe a couple of kids. Oh man, I can just see it now. But I guarantee you that if the devil would have said, hey, right after you do this, you're going to buy a field, all right, and it's a field full of death, and the name of it is called blood. No deal. No deal. Amen? You know what he was doing? Listen, I want you to hear this, because I'm going to close right here. I want you to hear this, and I want you to really let this sink in. You know what Judas was ultimately trying to do? Listen, I want you to hear it. Do you know what Judas was ultimately trying to do? He was trying to save himself. And he thought he could do it better than Jesus. Amen? I want you to hear this. He thought he could save himself. And he looked at all the other apostles. He's very rational, smart man. Worldly smart. He looked around and he said, golly, these other guys seem like they got a death wish too. Jesus definitely has a death wish. He's going to be put to death. I need to save myself. I'm going to make a plan. And then all of a sudden, you know when you start, bear with me, you know when you make a plan in your heart and mind to do something other than God, that's when the devil sets the trap. Yeah, he's really good. I'm serious. He knows. He'll know your heart, but he knows how to set a good trap. And when you start thinking and conniving in your mind, the devil will bring stuff. Boy, you'll say stuff like this. Man, I can't believe they picked me. The Pharisees, hey, Judas, come over here. we'll offer you 30 pieces of silver. Man, I can't believe they picked me. Hey, God, has anybody ever, y'all be, I know some of y'all are so righteous, I know I can't pick you. Have you ever committed a sin, and when you're about to commit the sin or you get started in it, you think, man, I'm pretty smart. No, gosh, come on, man. Hey, I'm pretty good. I'm the Mac Dad. Look at that. I'm smart. Look what I just did. I mean, I can make it happen. God, I mean, I've thought sometimes, man, I must be the silver tongue bandit. Amen? I mean, golly bum, I talked this girl into going with me. Woo! I look in the mirror and went, man, look at that guy. Woo! Come on! If I can't be real with you, then you don't be real with me. All right, well, I think I got it. No, the devil just, we're so dumb, it ain't us! Because he's like, oh, you want that? I can drive crazy into your life. I can wrap crazy in a good package. Amen? God. The thing that you wanted more than you wanted God might come to you in a great package. By the end of it, you'll say, man, that was the worst thing ever. When it got into my life, it was the best thing ever. I'm so smart. I'm so good. Look at me. Watch me. And all of a sudden the devil goes, no, it ain't you. It's me. I'm going to hook you up. Because when you get this thing opened up, I'm going to sling the trap shut. And you're going to be half the man or you're going to be half the woman than you started out being. Amen? See, his plan, why did they pick me? Oh, man, this is exactly the amount of money that I needed to make my future happen. You ain't got no future. He died faster than Jesus. He died faster than all the other disciples and apostles. And he died without. Man, that's our plan. That's your plan today. That is your plan without Christ Jesus. You die quickly. You die without. Your plan fails. Amen? So why did Judas, everybody says Judas didn't make it into heaven? Because he didn't repent unto God. He wasn't sorry to God. He was sorry for the outcome. I want to tell you, kids. I want to tell you, young adults. I want to tell you, you can be sorry for the outcome, but you got to get sorry to Christ and be broken over your sin before God. Not just sorry because it turned out bad. Everybody's sorry because it turned out bad. You got to get sorry because it breaks God's heart that you've sinned. That you need His forgiveness for your sins. That's when He does the healing of salvation, is when you come up here and say, God, I'm tired of trying to run my own plan, my own way. Forgive me of my sins and my trespasses. And I will let you be the Lord of my life. I don't care what it looks like or I don't care how it turns out. I know eternally it'll turn out for the best. Whose plan are you going with today? Jesus was crucified for your sins. There's no other way to be saved except through Jesus Christ. If you try to do it your way, you'll fail. If you do try to do it His way, you will succeed. His way works every time. Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation.